Psalm 127. We always like to read a psalm on the Lord's Day, and today is no different. It is a delight to be with you today. Some of you have maybe heard from me already today. We had the privilege of having the broadcast this morning on BBC Radio Ulster from our church in Ballymoney. That went out at 10:15 and was over at 11 o'clock. And I had to say a prayer in the proceedings, but it went very well. It's slightly different than a normal service. You have extra microphones and then you're kept by time, all of the time. Obviously, you don't want to run over your time. You want to get it all squeezed in because you have to finish then for the news at 11 o'clock. And do remember to pray for the radio work. This is a tremendous work. I know here in Coleraine you have all of your sermons uploaded onto the internet and all of those things, but it would amaze you to know, and we never know who tunes in and listens to these broadcasts that are placed on the internet and even would go out through Let the Bible Speak and even like today on Radio Ulster. And there will be people there who will hear the preached word that otherwise would never ever come into our church. This past little while have been distributing DVDs and CDs of our services in Ballymoney to people on the door, and they have received it with gladness, is how I could put it to you. And we just need to keep praying that as we distribute these different forms of the preached word, that the Lord will use it even to the salvation of precious souls. We're going to read Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep. No children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Amen. And we know that God always blesses the public reading of his word. The first book of Samuel. It is, of course, a well-known portion of Scripture to us. We want to commence to read verse 4. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife, and to all her portion, and all her sons and her daughters' portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and wept and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. In verse 20, wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for very often well-known portions of Scripture like this, such as Samuel and Hannah. We remember them from our earliest of days. There's probably not a child in the church today, or even young person, who wouldn't be able to come and give us an accurate account of the story and what happened and the course of events as we find it here in God's Word. But very often, whenever we were there in children's meetings or in youth meetings, we listened to the story and we learned the story. But because we were younger, we never fully grasped the true application of what was being said. And very, very quickly, just today, I want us to consider some very important truths that are so applicable to us here today in God's house. The main character in this reading is Hannah. She was a woman who had a big problem. She was a woman who was weighed down with a particular burden of life. She had a very heavy heart. And of course, many of us feel like that. Sometimes there are those who feel like it more than others. Maybe you're here today and there's a pressing worry upon your heart. Maybe upon your family, and maybe it has edged its way into your home and it's affecting you even in the spiritual capacity as to how you serve the Lord and how you worship Him. But problems are something that comes to us all day in and day out. It affects us at home, whether we be in the home or whether we be in the workplace, whether we be at school or university or wherever we are always faced with problems. You ask any child any day of the week when they come home from school, from primary 1 to primary 7 or whatever, they at some point that day will have faced a problem. The name Hannah simply means grace. As you read the story, you realize very quickly that this was a woman who needed God's grace to deal with the problems and the worries and the burdens that she had to handle in life. Isn't it good to know that in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9 it tells us, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." God often builds great faith. He sends special blessing at times of sorrow. Whenever we are faced with times of sadness, times of discouragement, times of despondency, and times of loneliness, times whenever we feel so left alone, oh yes, we could be married, we could be part of a happy family, we could even be part of a happy church family, but yet in our own hearts and in our own lives, we feel broken and we feel lonely. We feel let down, we feel sad, we feel anxious. Isn't it good to know that God's grace is sufficient for us? Whenever we pass through times of trial, we never see the blessing, we never see the joy, we never see God's hand at work as we go through that difficult time. But as we look back, it's then that we see the Lord. 1 Peter 5 and 10. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Those last few words of that verse, they are tremendous. After ye have suffered a while. What does he do for us? What does God do for us after we have endured affliction? After we have passed through times of trial, what does he do? He makes us perfect. He establishes us. He strengthens us. And the bit that I like is the last little bit. He settles you. Do you ever see a child that is in pain? You ever notice a child as it cries in distress or it's not well? There's some problem with that child and it comes into its mother's arms. And mommy rocks the little child. Mommy comforts the little child. Mommy cradles the little child. And in mommy's arms, that little child is settled. That little child is brought to peace and contentment. That's the way we ought to be with the Lord. As we consider Hannah this morning, and as we discover the faith that she had, as we discover how she approaches God with her faith, we need to notice that she never displayed any bitterness. She never displayed any anger towards God at all, but rather she was pleased to come to Him for help. How easy it is for us to become bitter towards God, to have that spirit of resentment in our heart. But as Hannah comes before God, she doesn't come and strike a deal. She doesn't come and begin to bargain and deal with God, no. She comes before the Lord and she displays to us total devotion. by her praying and supplication. She is fully surrendered over to God. Oh, that we might know this surrender. May that be our prayer today, that we would have the same dedication, that we would have the same devotion that Hannah had, that we might show the same grace and determination in our praying as she did. Four simple things I want us to consider. The first one's Hannah's problem. What was the problem that Hannah faced? How great? How small? How insignificant? What was the problem? Well, in verse 5 it tells us, "But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah." That's the husband Elkanah. "But the Lord had shut up her womb." Her husband loved her. The Bible tells us that he loved her. But the problem was that she couldn't have any children. The Bible tells us clearly the Lord had shut up her womb. Even at this particular time, whenever Elkanah gave Hannah a double portion, you will notice that in your margin there. If you have a margin to your Bible, it will say a worthy portion. Look in the margin, it will say a double portion. He had another wife, her name was Peninnah. She had sons and daughters. But unto Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her. And he felt in some way that he wanted to compensate her for her loss. He wanted to try and almost make it up to her what she was lacking in her heart. But that wasn't enough. The compensation of her husband was not enough. But in verse 6 we notice her adversary also, that's Elkanah's other wife, Peninnah, provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. In verse 6 we see the full extent of her problem. It wasn't only the fact that she couldn't have any children, but it was the fact that the other wife rubbed her nose in it almost, provoked her, tormented her. It caused her more upset. And in verse 7, it tells us there, she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. The deep desire of this woman's heart was that she might have children. She craved and she longed for a child, but she couldn't have one. She could not have one. Peninnah should have displayed love. She should have displayed sympathy and compassion. She should have been there for Hannah, but she wasn't. She provoked her. What was Hannah's reaction to Peninnah's behavior? She displayed grace, and she just took her problem to the Lord. As we go through life and we seek to serve the Lord, sometimes people will seek to provoke us. Sometimes people will try and torment us almost, and they will discourage us. Maybe you're starting out as a Christian and you want to serve the Lord by doing whatever. And it seems to be that the discouragements come from within the camp. It seems to be that those very people who ought to be encouraging you in the work that you do, they are the ones that discourage you. You would almost think that with Peninnah. You would think that surely she would have felt for Hannah. Surely she would have had compassion on this woman. But no. No, she hadn't. Hannah took her problem to the Lord. Let me ask you today, what problems are you facing in life? Let's be honest today, all of us have problems. I don't believe there's anybody here in this church today and you haven't a problem. No matter how small, no matter how vast, there is something that is in your heart, that is in your soul, and it's a worry. It's an anxiety for you. It's a trouble in life. It's a trial of life. It's a test of your faith. All of us, don't think that you're an obscure person. Don't think that you're any less of a Christian than anybody else because a problem has arisen in your life. Whether it be spiritual, whether it be a family problem, whether it be a financial problem, whatever the problem, maybe it's in school. And maybe somebody in school is making life hard for you. You always remember, young people, that the Lord is there for you first, and your parents as well, and those around about you. But what is your problem today? What did Hannah do with her problem? She brought it to the Lord. She brought it to the best burden bearer that there is possible to have. Maybe our problem is slightly different than Hannah's, but still it's a problem. Still it is something that bothers us. It worries us. It weighs us down as we seek to go along the road of life. Hebrews 4 and 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." What are we promised? We are promised to come before the Lord. That's what it tells us. To come boldly unto the throne of grace. That we may obtain that mercy. That we will find the grace. The grace that Hannah had. The grace that we need to find help in that time of need. Friend, today, if you have a time of need, if you have a problem, come to the Lord. Come to the Lord. Notice with me also Hannah's prayer. Verse 10 and 11. It tells us there that this woman was in bitterness of soul. And notice in verse 10 how she comes before the Lord. She prayed unto the Lord. Now that verse doesn't just end there. I want you to notice this today. She just doesn't come with her bitterness of soul and pray unto the Lord. But what does it say? It says she wept sore. She just didn't fall down before the Lord and go over some little rehearsed prayer that she had prayed a long, long, long time before. No. The Bible says that she wept sore. She was so overwhelmed with conviction. She was so overwhelmed with emotion. She was so distressed within her heart that she falls down before the Lord and she just doesn't weep. But she weeps sore. She poured out her heart before the Lord. This woman was so sad. She was full of sorrow. She was hurt. She was upset. And she weeps. Do you know the Lord sees our tears? The Lord knows all about our crying. The Lord knows all about our troubles. He knows all about our sorrow. Turn over to Psalm 56. There is various references that we could turn to today, but we want to look at Psalm 56 and the verse 8. The psalmist David knew what it was to cry. He knew what it was to have sorrow of heart. Verse 8, Psalm 56, "Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" David would almost give us the impression here that as we cry, as we have that sorrow of heart, that God almost collects our tears into his bottle, that no tear falls off the face of the Christian unnoticed by God. Sometimes we maybe think that God forgets about us. God isn't aware of us. God doesn't know about us. God knows every single thing about us. Right to the very hairs on our head. He knows the trials that we have. He knows the difficulties we have. No matter how silly they may seem. No matter how great they may seem. No matter how huge an obstacle it seems to be for us to overcome in life. The Lord knows about it. I have had problems and difficulties and worries in my life that I would probably be embarrassed to share with you today. For the simple reason is, you would maybe look at it and you would say, "Mark, what was the problem? What was the problem?" But to me at that time, it was a vast problem. To me at that time, it was a terrible discouragement, an awful anxiety. Maybe that's how you feel today. Maybe you feel even that embarrassed. You don't want to pray to the Lord about it. You don't want to tell the Lord how you feel. What did Hannah do? The Bible says that she comes before the Lord and she prays and she weeps sore. She poured out her heart fully to the Lord. To weep sore, Hannah must have prayed and cried for some time. She persevered. She wrestled in prayer. And her perseverance continued until she made a vow before the Lord. Tells us there in verse 11, "And she vows a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life." The word affliction is a very strong word, but that was really describing the problem that she faced. It shows the magnitude of this problem. "Lord, look on my sorrow and answer my prayer." Do we know anything of the praying that Hannah had? When was the last time that you as a child of God prayed like she did? How often do we come into the presence of the Lord as a matter of form? Whether it be at home or whether it be in the midweek here in the church. We just go because we have to go. We just pray because we're expected to pray. We just pray because we are supposed to pray. Hannah was so overwhelmed with the need. She was so overwhelmed with the conviction and the upset that she had that she comes to the Lord and she prays to him. Verse 15. Eli questioned her. He thought that she was drunken because as he watched her, her lips was moving, but there was no sound. In verse 13. And in verse 15, her answer to Eli was simply this, "But have poured out my soul before the Lord." Have poured out my soul before the Lord. When was the last time we poured out our soul before the Lord? You know, maybe you're here today and you're not saved. And maybe you look back over your life and you know all of the things that you have done. You know all of the places that you have been. And as you consider your life, you maybe think that you are not able to be saved because of the life that you have lived up until this point. No, friend, today, if you want to get saved, that's what you have to do. You have to pour out your soul. You have to come before the Lord and get down before Him and take the sinner's place. There was a lady in the New Testament in the book of Mark. She was the woman with the issue of blood. That's a tremendous portion. And the Bible tells us that she falls down before the Lord and she tells Him all the truth. She just told Him all about herself. But He knew about it anyway. He knew about it already before she even told Him. But you know, friend, today you need to pour out your heart to the Lord. Child of God, as we come to pray, let's pour out our heart to the Lord. Maybe we say that we know nothing of the problems like Hannah. Maybe you say to me today, "I haven't many problems in my life. I don't need to just go to that extent as to which Hannah had to do." What about our friends and family? What about their salvation? What about the needs of the church? What about our own life? What about our own walk with God? What about our own difficulties that we face in life? The hymn writer put it well when he said, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins, all our sins, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." Sometimes life becomes so busy. Sometimes we are so tired that the temptation is there not even to pray at all. Recently I got down at the side of the bed to pray, and the bed sheets was like sheets of steel. I just could not pray. I just could not find it within myself and within my heart to pray as I had hoped I could have prayed. There was something that I wanted to come before the Lord about, and I just got down, and it was the middle of the afternoon, and I went up to the room. The boys were downstairs and I got down on my knees to pray, but I couldn't. And then the phone rang and up I got and away I went to the phone. How often is that the case for us as a child of God? How often do we find it hard to pray? Hannah got before the Lord and she wept sore. She poured out her heart. Notice with me Hannah's promise. Because in verse 11, she made a promise. We have read it already. She said, "Lord, if you remember me, Lord, if you give me a man child, I will give him back to you. I will return him unto you. I will give him unto the Lord." What a marvelous promise this woman made. She was asking the Lord for something special, but yet she was still willing to give it back to the Lord. How many special things, how much blessing has the Lord given to us? And we're not willing to give it to the Lord. What about our times, our talents, our tithes, all of the blessings? Everything that we have is from the hand of God. And we hoard it and we keep it for ourselves. We look at what we have, our home, our finances, our jobs. Everything that we have, it's from the hand of God. But yet we hold on to it so tightly. We don't want to give it over to God. And what we do give over to God is just a little bit. Just the little bit that we can do without. The little bit that maybe we don't want. The little bit that we maybe don't need in life. Hannah had asked for something so precious. And it was so precious to her, yet she was willing to hand it straight back. Hand it straight back to the Lord. "I will give him unto the Lord." How many precious things has the Lord given us? How many precious things have you given to the Lord? Maybe over the years we have made many promises. Maybe in your younger days you promised the Lord much and did little. Hannah made a promise and she kept that vow. And she vowed a vow and she kept what she had vowed. Eli thought that Hannah was drunk, but she explained. She told Hannah, she told Eli what she was there for. "Why should thou be cast down?" And Eli said in verse 17, then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." Why should we be cast down today, Christian? We have a book full of promises. Let's take God at his word. This promise was fulfilled. Because in verse 20, God fulfilled his promise. Because it says, Hannah conceived, she bare a son, and called his name Samuel. God always keeps his promises. God never, ever breaks a promise. Never. If I was to make you a promise today, I could break that very promise tomorrow. God, when He makes a promise, He keeps His word. What does the name Samuel mean? It means asked of God. You'll see that in your margin. Verse 20, Samuel, and in the margin, asked of God. Because he was. Hannah had come and she had pleaded her cause with the Lord, and God answered her prayer. Her plea was, Lord, if thou wilt remember the handmaid, Lord, don't forget thine handmaid. And the Bible says that the Lord did remember her in verse 19. The Lord remembered her. The Lord doesn't forget about us. The Lord always keeps His promise. The Lord always keeps His word. And He gave Hannah what He had promised. Yes, God fulfilled His promise, but Hannah also fulfilled hers. And if you have time, you can study it yourself in verse 24 through unto the end of verse 28. It tells us that she brought the child Samuel back after she had weaned him. She brought the child Samuel back and she gave him back to the Lord. Hannah honored the promise that she made. She did what she had promised God that she would do. How many promises have we broken? How many promises have we broken to our family, to our friends? And even worse, how many promises have we made to the Lord? Maybe you're here today and you're a Christian and you have promised, I don't know, service. You've promised giving. Our brother in the announcements was asking and making reference to the programs that you have in place here in the church. Maybe you have made promises before the Lord and you haven't honored those promises. Maybe you're here today and you're not saved. And maybe going through some difficult time, you made a promise to the Lord. And you said, Lord, if you see me through this time of trial now, maybe it was illness, maybe it was sickness. Lord, if you raise me from this, I promise I'll get saved. Lord, I promise I'll live for you. Lord, I promise I'll be finished with sin. And I'll put my trust in Christ. And the Lord kept His part. The Lord raised you to health and strength. The Lord brought you out of that bed of sickness. The Lord blessed you in some particular way, and yet you're still not saved. You're still breaking that promise before the Lord. Hannah kept the promise that she had made. Let's keep her promises. Notice with me in closing Hannah's prosperity. We have to go over to chapter 2 for this one. Chapter 2, it tells us there in verse 1, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. Because I rejoice in their salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. What? She was praising the Lord. She was so blessed. The Lord had honored her greatly. And if you notice in verse 21, the Bible tells us, and the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. God did more for Hannah. She asked for 1 child, and how many did the Lord give her? He gave her 3 sons, 2 daughters, and the child Samuel. So in all, she had 6 children. She came before the Lord, and her plea was, give me one. And Lord, if you answer my prayer, I'll give him back to you. How greatly did the Lord not honor this woman? He gave her 6 children. How do we limit God? We limit God because we don't ask. We limit God because we don't expect. We don't expect the blessing. How much blessing would be ours if only we would ask? Ephesians 3 and 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The Lord did great things for Hannah. But she came before the Lord and she pleaded with him. She poured out her heart in prayer. She wept sore in prayer. Maybe the Lord isn't doing great things for us because, well, we don't know what it is to pray. We don't know what it is to weep sore before the Lord in prayer. We don't know what it is to get down before the Lord and pour out our soul before Him in the place of prayer. Yes, in the private place. We don't have time today, but in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord tells us those whom prayeth in secret, the Lord will reward them openly. That we are to go into the quiet place and that we are to pray. That we are to shut ourselves away and get alone with God. Hannah did exactly that. And what wonderful blessing the Lord bestowed upon her. He did more than she could ever ask or think. You see, the thing was, Hannah was a great woman of prayer. Samuel was asked of God and he was a great man of prayer. Because of prayer there was great blessing. Let us yearn for that dedication in prayer. You know, I often wonder, whenever I think of the story of Hannah, I often wonder how God blessed Samuel. And then whenever I think of the story, hadn't he a mother that knew what it was to pray? You know, as parents, there is an awesome responsibility upon us. I have two little boys, and I often look at them, and I often wonder what the future holds for them, as any parent will. But as I often look at them, I often think of my responsibility. And especially outlined in the story of Hannah, we ought to bring them more earnestly and more often and more sincerely before the Lord in prayer, that the Lord might save them, that the Lord might save our children, that he might keep them and bless them, and that they might, as they grow older, learn more of the Lord and get to know him more and serve him better. Samuel's mommy prayed. Maybe you're here today in the meeting, and if I was to ask your children today, does your mommy pray for you? Maybe they have never ever heard you pray. Maybe your children have never ever heard their mommy pray. Maybe your children have never ever heard daddy pray. Oh yes, they've heard mommy and daddy talk about 1,000 other things to do with the church, good and bad, by the way. But your children have never ever heard you pray. Let's pray like Hannah. Let's come to the Lord and pour out our heart to him. I trust this message has been a blessing to you today. Let's close in a word of prayer.